Right on. This is episode 3 of the Grapes and Gorak show. We're back at Darren's place. Couldn't really figure out a place to eat. I'm going to the cabin. He's going to Canada. So
we got the Giants in Cleveland on the TV here.
Yep. It's 13-3 Cleveland. So
bunch of trash players in now. So
just a little background noise for you. Hopefully it doesn't overpower the mics too much, but we'll see how it goes.
It can't be any louder than B-Dubs was.
I don't think so. But I think we're going to do the NFC over-unders.
Yeah, but first we got to talk just all the news. It's been, what, a week and a half since we started?
Yeah. We had a little delay on getting back together. We ended off saying we hope we have some good news coming into the week, and with Diggs getting a contract. And
very next morning, he got a contract.
Not even 12 hours after we hit stop, he got a contract.
I think we caused it. I think we were the reason. They listened. Rick Spielman's listening. He's one of the 9 people.
Yep.
He was like, these guys are making sense. We should lock this guy up, this Stephon Diggs fella.
Yep. And, you know, we got him at a hometown discount.
Yeah, you said, I think you said 90.
I figured he was going to get 90. I mean, he's better than Cooks.
I guess that's not a universal thing. Everyone thinks he's better than Cooks. I mean, I think he's better than Cooks. I think he's better than Watkins. I think he's better than Jarvis Landry. But I don't know. Maybe they argued he's... hurt too much, or something.
You know,
like that.
He loves it here, and like he said in his press conference, even before he signed the contract, like he was saying how much he loves it here, and like you see on Twitter, him and Thielen are.
Yeah, he's like cocky, but he's got like a really good attitude.
Yeah,
which is like not like selfish.
Yeah, he's a genuine human being. Yeah, he's just exuberant.
The way him and Thielen go back and forth on Twitter is awesome. They're not arguing over targets. So, I mean, I think I'm pumped we got him signed for 5 more years.
Yeah, and I saw the list of players we have under contract through 2020, and it is insane the star power we have for the next 3 years. I think there are like 8 or 9 of our top players are under contract. So,
and I think he got almost the exact same money as Daniel Hunter got. So I think he's like 5 for 70. He's 5 for 72, so just a little bit more.
Yep.
And like you said, I think that is a bit of a hometown discount. I mean, he got paid, but he didn't get paid even what some of the other.
Well, you usually do get more in the open market anyways, because it's a bidding war at that point. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe it's just kind of how.
It gives the Vikings a little more leverage the way they do their contracts a year out. It's like, you can go play this year, you could get hurt, you could underperform, or you could just get paid right now. Like, true. You're going to be a multimillionaire if you just sign this right now, so. And like you said, Diggs wants to be here. We're a good team.
Oh.
Did you see him and Rhodes got into it at practice?
Yeah, I did.
They didn't really say what it was, but...
Did they sit out... Like, was that in the morning? Did they sit out a full day, or did they just sit out like a session?
I think they sat out the afternoon practice, because I think what happened is they got into it in the morning one, and then they had to sit out. It sounds like it's all...
I mean, they've been in camp for 2 weeks. Players, we're getting in the chippy period.
Yeah.
Kendrick sacked Cousins and threw a "you like that" in his face. So like,
did they hit the quarterback?
Yeah.
Hit the quarterback.
Well, he like got to him and everything like that.
Well, next week the Jags come to practice. So.
Yep. I think we're gonna try and get there Thursday.
Try to make one of those. Check a little training camp out.
Yep. That should be fun. I'm excited to see the new facility. Excited to check out the team live. It's nice getting a lot of information over Twitter and everything, but there's nothing like going to training camp and kind of seeing it all for yourself. I'd like to see how we juggle the O-line with...
Let's get into that.
I mean, Nick Eason out for the year now, went on IR.
Before that even happened, we had talking about O-line, and then all of a sudden Easton's out for the season.
Yep, he had neck surgery.
Yeah, he had to get a bulging disc or something in his neck, so... Oh. Remmers is down right now. Elfline still hasn't practiced.
Yep, so we're down 3 potential starters. Or, well, 2 starters for sure. I mean, I guess Easton was slated at left guard, too.
Anyway. I think he was... Yeah, he was penciled in as a starter.
Yeah. Well, I know Compton was taking first-team guard reps while he was playing center.
Right.
With Elfline gone. So, I mean, it's good that we got Compton.
I like Danny Isadora.
I like Isadora as well. Aviante Collins. Yeah, it sounds like Collins has been playing inside and outside.
Because I was wondering that. I didn't know if he was more of just a tackle only.
I thought he was, but it sounds like he's been playing inside, and it sounds like he's had a good camp going up against the first and second team defense.
I thought he looked good last year in a few of those jumbo sets we would do and things like that. So I think we can replace Easton. Easton was probably our most mediocre lineman.
But he was also our backup center.
That killed.
I mean, he had all the calls. Like, him and Elfline were on the same page.
And it's like doubly bad because Elfline's also coming back from injury. So, and I don't even know who you put at center if Elfline goes down. Is it that Edison or
what? Yeah, it's Edison.
Which, who the hell is that?
I have no idea. I didn't even have him making the roster.
Yeah, because Easton was going to cover that spot. Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be interesting. Maybe they'll try to pick someone up or...
Yeah, I heard a couple names float around. I saw, like, Jari Evans, mm-hmm. Luke Jokel. Even, like, somebody brought up Joe Berger.
I saw Pro Football Talk. I think it might have been Pioneer Press or something said that we reached out to him and he's staying retired. So, But Luke Jokel and maybe Jari Evans. I mean, Jari Evans was a good player in this league. He's older.
Yeah, but I don't think that I saw somebody say something about lacking mobility.
Like a scheme fit issue.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I think we kind of like try to have our guards get up to the second level. Like, they chip their guy and get to the second level. I think that's kind of their scheme, and Jari Evans can't really do that.
And then the rest, like a Luke Jokel, it's like, that's just a name. It's,
Yeah, I mean, he was drafted third overall, second overall or whatever.
There's a reason he's not on a 90-man roster. I mean, I think at that point you just go with the young guys,
True, but if you do go Jokel, it's because of the versatility. He can play four offensive line spots.
Yeah, bad. He can flip. He can be terrible at four positions.
Yeah, I guess. Like you said, there's a reason he's not on a 90-man roster right now.
Yeah, and I just think at that point, I think we can cover the guard spot just fine. It's actually the backup center that scares me more, like you were saying. Because the guard... I don't know how big of a drop it is from Easton to Compton or Easton to Isadora.
It was weird. I heard that Compton actually graded out better than Easton did last year at left guard.
Pro Football Focus.
So, yeah.
Well, they were pretty rough on our line last year, Pro Football Focus. And I didn't think... I mean, our line was pretty mediocre. Yeah. But I guess we saw some pretty bad lines.
I think we were probably... Like, I think Pro Football Focus graded us out pretty well. But I think... Like, we're so inconsistent online that we'll have those plays where, we all mesh. You've seen it before. Yeah. We all mesh and we're good. And then there's those plays where, somebody misses an assignment or gets beat. And I think they take that into account. I think getting beat takes a lot of points away.
Yeah, like if you completely blow a play.
Yeah, I don't really know how that works, but... So, I mean, another name floating around, we could get Richie Incognito. I mean, he seems very interested. Yeah,
that was an interesting story that kind of came and went.
Yeah.
First, I mean, this idiot claims we reached out to him.
Yeah, and then Zimmer hears that somebody at the press conference
asked him. Yeah,
yeah, and like, so you guys reached out to Incognito, like mutual interest and whatnot. And he's like, nope, no interest.
Never called him.
Never called him. Not interested. No, that was today. He said something about the tweet that...
I think that he said it multiple times.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, what's funny is when we were interested in Incognito, I was... Even though it was before Easton's injury, but even with Easton's injury, I don't want anything to do with that idiot.
No.
Our team is so... Like, our chemistry is so good. No matter... I don't care if this guy's a star. Like, the guy is out of his mind.
No,
like, he'd be like a cancer in your locker room.
He would be. He got kicked out of Oregon. He got kicked out of Nebraska just in college. Then
the whole bullying thing.
Yep. There's that. Opener in St. Louis in like 2009, he had two personal foul plays on back-to-back plays and was cut days later. The list just goes on.
A few months ago, he threw weights at people.
Yeah.
And said the government was tracking him.
Yeah, and well, even afterwards, later that night, he's like, after 37 phone calls from family and friends, like, I realized that, like, I was messed up in, like, savage mode, this and that. It's like, dude.
Well, because, he went on Twitter and he decided he was going to call Mike Zimmer a liar.
Yeah.
And then posted a bunch of images that showed him and Tony Sperano texting.
Yeah.
Which Tony Sperano doesn't make our personnel decisions.
No.
And the text came off like, he was looking for the job and Tony was just being nice to him.
Yeah. I mean, Tony was so short with him all the time. He was giving like one word answers like a high school girl would, or not even high school, just any girl would, you know, like trying to get.
Brushing him off.
Yeah. Like, just trying not to be rude.
Yeah. And it's. But he clearly realized he looked like an idiot.
Yeah, because he deleted everything.
He deleted it all and then apologized. And it's funny, like, he kind of burned the bridge of ever signing here, I would assume.
I would.
And then Easton gets hurt. It's like, dude, that, you, I wouldn't want him, but it's like.
I think he burned his bridge with the entire NFL after that. Yeah, like, everyone's like, whoa.
He might have already burned it. Who knows?
Yeah.
The, you know, the whole government tracking him thing and chucking weights around. And
I mean, I get it. You know, I'm sure the dude probably has a case of CTE, and that's why he's like freaking insane.
Well, what did he get that when he was crazy in college too? So who knows what?
I mean, CTE happens when you're young. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
Some, but you know, there
Something's
are some people
off in that dude.
Exactly.
So I don't want him in our locker room.
No, I want nothing to do with him. He may be a good player. I've never really watched much of Incognito.
Sounds
I know
like
he made
he,
the.
He
I know
made
he made
a Pro
the.
Bowl, yeah.
He made the Pro Bowl last year, I think. Last year or 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was really recent. So, like, dude can play. But, again, I don't want him near my locker room. He just – his personality just does not seem to fit with what we're trying to do.
No, and our locker room seems so good.
Yeah, we've got a really good culture right now.
We have a really good culture going on. Everyone seems to like it here. I've even heard, like, you know, some beat writers talk about how players that leave or even come from other places to talk about how it's so different here. And how, like,
really?
Yeah, the chemistry of the teams are so – the Vikings are so good. So
yeah, and it's kind of started back. I mean, it started after Childress left. You know, Frazier kind of was weeding out some of the.
I think it got rid of like Frazier got rid of the bad apples, but I don't think the players respected Frazier the way they do Zimmer.
True.
Like I think the like Zimmer's hard on him, but they don't. They love him. You know, so
it's because he delivered. Like he can talk the talk and walk the walk.
He coaches them. He's not just like
a consultant,
talking head.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you saw Hard Knocks.
I did not watch the first episode of Hard Knocks.
Oh, so I saw, I don't know. Hugh Jackson just.
I saw some stuff of Hugh Jackson. I know
then
we talked about
Williams
last.
Greg is even worse. Like.
Well, Hugh Jackson is resting his players in training camp.
One of the clips they got into it kind of, it was actually Todd Haley was kind of saying that he thinks that they should play through their, you know, just bumps and bruises, whatever kind of thing, and they should get used to that and play through it. And Hugh Jackson was like, this is my team. I want these guys healthy for the season. They're sitting.
That's true. Well, I know
I get both sides, but like.
Didn't Jarvis Landry have a freak out? Was that on Hard Knocks?
It was on Hard Knocks. It wasn't really a freak out. He just kind of got up and
well,
was
he's
just
like,
called
if
out.
You're, he's like, if you're not injured, you fucking practice. And you had Hugh Jackson saying the complete opposite.
Yeah, there was got Twitter. On Twitter, they kind of did a side by side of like Jarvis Landry getting on the guy saying, like, if you can get out there, get out there. If like, play through, you know, play when you're hurt. Like, you got to be out there to get better. And then the other side was Hugh Jackson, like, we're going to sit guys that are dinged up because I want them healthy.
I mean, I think. You got to think Todd Haley knows this job is his by like halfway through the season. Well, he just seems, I mean, just not even watching Hard Knocks. I think Todd Haley's a better coach. Like,
well, I think Hugh Jackson's a terrible coach. He came off kind of like Marvin Lewis, like more of like a father figure to the players, like just kind of like a life coach type dude. And then the other guys came off more as coaches. I mean, Greg Williams came off as just an old school.
You need a lozenge, coach? I got a lozenge, bitch.
Yeah, I mean, he came off as like just a dick.
Yeah.
Like the players don't like him. So I don't
I've
know.
Actually heard the opposite. I've heard players love playing for
Greg Williams.
Well,
yeah, maybe when he paid them to cheap shot.
No, it wasn't even. It's like recently. Like recently, players.
He said he turned down 9 jobs to go to the Browns.
And then
maybe
somebody
it was 7.
So yeah, somebody said 7 jobs. It was 7 jobs. Somebody listed.
There was 9 available.
9 available. And he's like, so which team didn't offer him a job?
Yeah. I feel like, one, he's exaggerating.
But two,
that could have been like college jobs.
I was going to say there could be college jobs like D-backs coach. I mean,
yeah,
it's probably not 7 coordinator jobs. There's no way. Absolutely.
And you picked the Browns because you wanted to be here.
Yeah.
The whole episode was basically about like changing the Browns culture because they're just losers constantly. So
yeah. I mean, you started off right with Baker Mayfield. I mean, that dude hates losing more than he likes winning. Like
that was my top quarterback that I
in the draft
coming out of the draft.
I liked Rosen. I liked Rosen, Jackson, and Baker.
I mean, I obviously love Lamar Jackson. The guy's just awesome. But I don't know.
Top talent. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Baker's got something to him. He's got that Johnny Football swagger to him.
But not the
head case. Yeah, I mean, like Baker can hold himself together. I think he kind of has his shit together. But enough about the Browns.
Yeah, screw
Browns. We were talking about Incognito. Diggs, Incognito, Easton got hurt.
What did you think about Barr not getting any extension yet? And Zimmer kind of talked about some trade rumor, which seems like was not actually a rumor.
Yeah.
That for some reason, maybe Zimmer was trying to get out ahead of something. I don't think there's any way we'd trade him. Yeah. But do you think they're going to end up paying him, or what do you think with that?
I do. I know we can make it work right now. Yeah. We still have $10 million. And cap space left.
Yeah,
we can make it
and
work.
And he makes
right
13,
now.
So you could.
It would adjust. Actually lower our cap.
A lot of our extensions we're doing are tacking on years. Like Diggs this year still makes the same what he was going to make. Yep. He just got a signing bonus, so he got a little bit of that. But so you could do it. The only thing I wonder is if either Barr is overvaluing himself because of the first round pedigree and this, you know, the size and skill set, and maybe, or we're trying to keep him motivated because he has had some tendency to like kind of.
I wouldn't doubt if it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Because you know, Barr wears the green sticker. He's the one who talks to Zimmer on defense, and Zimmer loves him like as a football player.
Well, and I think that's why he came out and said like, we're not trading him. I want him here. I love him.
Yeah.
Which almost makes me lean towards more of the. Maybe Barr's just asking for top dollar, and we're kind of like, hey, you're actually more just on the same level as Kendricks.
Yeah.
And plus, with $13 million he's already going to make, it makes it a little more difficult to negotiate than when you have a guy like Diggs who's making nothing.
Yeah.
So he wants that assurance. He wants that first big contract. Barr's already gotten a big contract.
Yeah.
So he's got a little more leverage to say, I can wait till free agency, and I'm fine.
True. I don't want that to be, like, a distraction all year, though. I don't want them to be, like, asking him about it.
Usually a team will say, once the season starts, we're just not going to negotiate and we're not going to worry about it.
I mean, they probably do behind closed doors.
Yeah, but they say just so they can try to avoid any questions or anything like that. So, hopefully it's not a distraction. I think, that's what, again, I like Zimmer. Like, with the Incognito thing, I didn't even want our players thinking we were interested. And Incognito had came out and said, oh, I got a call from the Vikings.
Yeah.
You know, and he just came out right out and said, no, we didn't. He's, you know, and then same thing with the Barr. He came out and said, we want him here. There's no, you know, we're not looking to trade him or anything. So he sort of just squashes any drama immediately.
Yeah.
Which is, again, another reason to like Zimmer.
True.
Most coaches would probably just not say anything, you know, and he's willing to just say like it is.
And I think, you know, it might not be I'd love to see us extend Barr before the season starts, but it might not be the worst thing, you know, because he's already making 13. So if he has another year like he did last year, maybe he can be like, all right, you know, you're a $9-10 million player. You're not a 13-14.
And maybe we're talking about using him as a pass rusher more. Maybe we try that. It doesn't work out that well. And then you can say, you know what? You're just a 4-3 linebacker.
Yeah.
We're not going to pay you for any pass rush skills you have because they didn't translate.
Yeah, like it looks like you can rush the passer, but you can't. Like you're not a pass rusher, which I find very hard to believe with how strong and how fast he is.
And
with the D-line group around him, like I feel like he's picked up plenty from.
Yeah, I think what he needs is just to learn some moves, you know.
So yep.
Just to get past guys, because he's got the speed and the length and everything. And
he
was fine in college. He had, you know, a decent amount of sacks. So I think it'll be cool to see him blitz on some third downs off the edge.
I love watching him blitz right up the middle in the double A gap. But I mean, there's just something about, you know, elite
if he can bend that edge and
edge.
Come around and
especially
just
if,
different stuff.
Especially if like we can, you know, move him around, flip Griffin inside with Richardson and have like Barr, Hunter, Richardson, Griffin all on the line at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, that's scary.
Especially if
Barr has, if he develops and becomes a really good passer, so that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it sounds like Mackenzie Alexander is turning on a nickel, and you can bring in Hughes. You can go with six D-backs and get to the quarterback with four. Like, that's how elite defense is.
Yeah, you get pressure with four guys.
Yeah.
And part of that is, you got to be able to cover too. And it seems like we got the cover guys to give them time.
Yeah.
To just get there with four guys. So I don't know. I want Barr around because I want to keep this team together.
Yeah.
But I do kind of understand why he's the hardest one to negotiate.
I'm wondering, like, with our cap and everything, how it is next year, if franchise tag is an option for him.
I'd have to think the 4-3 linebacker. Now, he's an outside. Does that include the 3-4 outside guys?
I think so.
See, that would kind of shoot it up a little more then.
Yeah. I think it's just, you know, outside linebackers.
Yeah, so then...
So I think it's probably around what he's making this year.
Yeah.
The 12
to 14.
So you might be able
to just tag him and then negotiate again.
Yeah.
We pretty rarely use the tag, but...
Yeah, I don't think
we
like
using Greenway.
The tag. We did
with Greenway. I think we did it once with Greenway.
I think we did.
Yeah. And maybe they came to agreement later, but... Anything else training camp-wise, Buzz, you're kind of...
You know, we had... I had Kendall Wright as a lock. It doesn't sound like he's having a good camp at all.
Yeah, Zimmer said he might be a weekly inactive because he can't help on special teams and he's not going to dress six receivers.
And that's what he said. If I keep six receivers, I can't dress all six if they have no special teams value. And, you know, so that surprises me that he is on the bubble.
I think part of that is because... Your boy Laquan Treadwell's looking
best receiver on the Vikings roster.
Just dumb to say out loud.
Just saying.
But he is from everyone, like any beat writer I see, or Paul Allen, or you know, just people on Twitter. Like everyone saying Treadwell looks like he's really doing good this training.
Yeah, it sounds like he's got better route running this year. He's getting separation. It just sounds like everything he's doing. And all the work he's putting in is starting to pay off.
Well, and shocking, a guy you took when he was 20 years old needed a little time to develop.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Third-year receiver used to be kind of a thing.
It was always third-year breakout,
you know. And especially when he's 20. I mean, I understand if you take, you know, a guy who's 24, well, I'd hope he can do something before he's 27. But this dude's going to be 23, 24, so.
He's younger than Diggs. I mean, I believe. Right. I mean, granted, I know Diggs... Treadwell, different player. Diggs is awesome. Haven't seen that trip from Treadwell. But, like, he's younger than Diggs, and he's been around almost as long. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and Diggs even put on Twitter, they were talking about playmakers on the offense, and someone wrote Cook, I think it was Cook, Cousins, Diggs. And then someone tweeted at him, you know, don't forget about Thielen and Rudy. And then he even put in the end, Diggs did, and our secret weapon.
Treadwell.
Treadwell. Which is just good to see. It seems like. If he wasn't performing, I don't think Diggs would throw him that bone. Like,
no.
They don't, I mean, even, you don't see him say anything about Kendall Wright.
Exactly.
So.
I really like Treadwell. When we drafted Treadwell, Thielen wasn't in the picture. It was supposed to be Diggs and Treadwell.
Yeah.
You know?
Thielen was still coming on, you know? So.
I think Treadwell can play. He's made some good catches. I'm hoping he's better route runner.
I think that's what it is. I think his hands have always seemed really good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the size. He's just got to get separation.
Yeah.
And it sounds like even maybe he's just got to, you know, become that. Even if he can't get separation, you just got to make those catches even when you're covered.
Yeah. Like Jeffrey, you said on the first episode.
Like a Sidney Rice type. Yeah. You know, when you're covered one on one, like his big body, long arms, you can still box him out.
You see a lot of that on Twitter. A lot of those jump ball plays that he's coming down.
Yeah. A lot of red zone stuff. They're saying he's killing in the red zone, which is good. And I like how what that does is instead of Kendall Wright coming in and keeping Thielen and Diggs on the outside, you can bring Treadwell in, put him on the outside, which let you bring Thielen or Diggs to the slot, where both those guys were great last year
and
out of the slot.
You know, with that too, you can put both of them in the slot if you spread Rudolph out wide and don't want him. I mean,
so you can do all kinds of stuff. Where the thing with Kendall Wright is, I mean, I think he's got a little outside to him, a little more than Jarius did.
But if Treadwell comes on, he's a lot more of a threat. And all of a sudden, you know, you can't double cover both Thielen and Diggs and expect to like blitz and hold off to.
I mean, who was our third receiver last year? Was it basically Jarius Wright? Because he only had like 13 catches.
It was Jarius Wright and Treadwell.
Yeah, so I mean, if someone else could, if Treadwell can step up and actually get, you know, maybe 40, 50 catches and be more of an impact, you could do more 3-4 wides.
See, and that's the thing. It's not like there's a lot of like missing targets, you know, going away. I mean, I know Jet got some, but like the volume just really isn't there in our offense right now.
When you have Diggs and Thielen, and you have a defense that usually has us in the lead.
True. You're not
throwing, you're not putting up all those extra stats, you know, so.
It's not the 2007 Patriots where they're just, you know, they're up 35 and they're still slaying it.
Still, yeah. Or a team with a terrible defense that's playing from behind and just racking up stats.
Like Kirk Cousins' old team.
Yeah, a lot of Cousins, Redskins teams. And I, even if Treadwell can just become like a red zone, you know, if he can get, you know, 7-8 touchdowns, he's never scored a touchdown, has he? I think that's one of the things that he's never gotten an NFL touchdown. And, you know, it would be nice to have another weapon with Rudolph, you know, as a red zone threat.
Yeah.
When we get down there. But also some people I've heard as the corners, sounds like Mike Hughes and Holton Hill both
are good,
getting rave reviews.
Yeah.
Hughes, they're saying, is picking up the offense faster than any rookie, or not the offense, the defense, faster than any rookie corner that Zimmer's had.
Really?
Yeah, so, and we've had some good ones.
Yeah.
Rhodes and Waynes. I mean, it actually did take those two a little bit longer to get there, but.
Well, I think Rhodes only took 1 year to get.
And he was a lot of just.
Well, one, because his first year was under Frazier, and then I think his first year under Zimmer's defense was a little touchy.
With
a lot
the of penalties. Flags. Yeah.
Yep. But then he did the boxing gloves. And
yeah. Trey Waynes, it took till, I think, his third year. His last year was.
It was sometime last year.
It was, a few games into last year, he really came around, and it was like, okay, he's not the punching bag that everyone kind of thought for the last couple of years.
Yep.
But it sounds like Hughes is picking it up quick. And he seems like a natural fit for that nickel spot.
True. It does. I mean, the size, the speed, he's tough, like he's strong. You know, he can press. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you need out of your slot corner, because, I mean, you're going to play big guys, you're going to play small against small guys.
And he's quick in and out of his cuts and stuff like that, whereas, you know, you can't really put a guy like Rhodes who's long and lean. Well, like, it's harder in shorter areas to move quick.
Exactly.
So you find a guy like, he just seems like a great fit for that. Yeah. And we could definitely use that.
Definitely. Yeah, I've heard lots of stuff about Mike Hughes. Like, everyone loves Hughes. A lot of people like Holton Hill. I know Xavier Rhodes said, like, dude can ball and stuff like that. He really likes him.
Sounds like he's staying after practice a lot, too, and getting coached up by some of the players.
Players, coaches. Like, yeah, dude just wants to work.
And which is good to see from a guy who fell in the draft because of character stuff or whatever it was. So if he got the talent of his head zone right, so.
Yeah,
so we both had him making the roster, so I think it could be a steal.
Going back, I'm gonna go back a step. We were on wide receivers. Brandon Zylstra. I know he left practice yesterday. I don't know if he was practicing today.
He's definitely been the guy out of that mixed bag of people we talked about.
Yeah.
You had Bidet and there's Tavares King, but it sounds like he's been the one.
He might be the guy. So sounds like if we go five as of now, it sounds like our five would be Diggs, Thielen, Treadwell.
Coley
and Zylstra.
And it sounds Wright's like gone.
But if they
go six, maybe it's Wright and he's inactive all the time.
Because I think they use Zylstra as a gunner on special teams.
See, and that's bringing value where Wright's not doing that.
Exactly. So. But
Jarius Wright didn't play special teams either.
No, but he was our third. That's true. Yeah.
So if Kendall gets beat out by Treadwell for the third spot, and Coley for that matter, then what's the point of him?
Exactly. I mean, he's just in.
I mean, if he's the fifth receiver, you're not going to get on the field. You'd rather have a special teamer.
I'd rather have somebody young.
Yeah.
Or a special teamer. Like,
there's no point to keep him.
Yeah, he's not going to get better. Yeah. What you see is what you get. Yeah, at least the young guys can either get better at gunner or become a better receiver. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it adds value.
All he would do, was be inactive every week. So, Well, I mean, he seems like a decent player, but I think that shows to show maybe Treadwell and Coley are coming around better. Coley's another one that I've heard is looking pretty good for his second season. So, anyone you've heard that's been not looking great?
Not looking
great. It's usually
great.
Not something they people talk about. I mean,
I know. Kirk Cousins, it sounded like he had a bad weekend.
And he had a rough night practice. They did that one of the lights, and it sounded like it wasn't
wasn't real great for the offense. So that's not the best thing to hear, but I think, you know, he's still gaining chemistry with his guys. You know, he's still getting his timing down, I think. I think that's a lot of the things.
Yeah, he's no Teddy Bridgewater, what are you going to do?
Besides Tom Brady, nobody's Teddy Bridgewater.
Clearly.
But, no, I mean, I'm not too worried about the Cousins thing.
No.
I think
But he is someone that, yeah, it hasn't been like universal rave reviews, you know?
Yeah.
Where it is with guys like Treadwell, everyone's saying looks good. Dalvin Cook, we're saying he looks like better than after.
Yeah, it sounds like he's really trusting his knee. Mm-hmm. He took the knee brace off. He talked to the medical team, and he's like, can I take off my knee brace? And like, if you're comfortable taking off your brace, we're comfortable with it. It sounds like it took him I don't think it was even a couple days. It was like a couple reps where they could tell he was not really trusting it. But then once he kind of got it, he was planting and exploding, and like he was. And I guess he's looked really again, good.
Another one, yeah, looking good. It sounds like looks fast, looks quick.
I was kind of thinking about Dalvin Cook, and then I saw an Edgerrin James highlight reel. Pop
I saw
out.
That. That's, yeah,
was that J. Reed Drafskow?
Yeah, he was putting and great comparison because they do look just the way they slip past.
Yep, the one cut, the little like. Yep. I don't know if he's got that little hop step that. That Edge did. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those runs, like, I mean, he's fast, but he's also not violent runner, but you know, they can throw guys around.
Yeah. And I think it was a good comparison. The run styles were very similar.
Yep.
So
yep.
He's looked good. Yeah. Other than that, kind of just the normal stuff.
Sounds like the defense does look really. It sounds like they win a lot of the 11.
Sounds like they're ahead of the offense, which makes sense. You got a new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. Yep. Cook's back from injury. The line is decimated right now. So
that sucks. I mean, we need camaraderie at offensive line. We at least have to have a group that can stay together. Whether. Mm-hmm. It's backups or not, we need five healthy linemen this year.
Yeah, and I think it's like last year, like it wasn't a great group of talent, but they stayed healthy for the most part. It kind of fell off at the end there. But whereas the year before, the Bradford year, people just kept getting hurt.
Yeah, it was a revolving door. Jake
Long comes in for Khalil. He gets hurt. And then you're down to TJ Clemmings at left tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so.
Well, and you know, it's kind of funny that, not funny, it's ironic that, you know, offensive linemen keep getting hurt, because in Washington, Kirk Cousins had the third most often hurt offensive lineman, the fifth, and like the tenth.
I think they also had TJ Clemmings play some snaps last year.
Yes, they did. Yeah, so I believe against
you
us.
Know your, I believe was, against yeah, us. You know your offensive line sucks if TJ Clemmings has to come in and play.
Oh, you know who I saw was a free agent attacking offensive lineman? David Yankee.
Oh my. Some of our bad picks. Yeah. Who is the other one? Willie Beavers. Where's Willie Beavers?
Probably a free agent.
Can't take a kicker because you got to take Willie Beavers.
Exactly.
I don't know what round that was. I mean, but.
I think he was a sixth round pick. Either Yankee or Beavers.
Yankee was a sixth. I think Beavers was like a four.
Yeah.
So, but.
No, but can't take a kicker that. Speaking of kicker, like Carlson, sounds like he's.
Has
money.
He looked good?
Yeah, it sounds like he's looking real good. I know he had what did
he's
he say?
Just got to look just look competent. He's making the team.
He can't wait to play in Denver to like get in that one. Yeah. Well, I forgot where he played, but one college game before he booted like a 75-yard.
Wasn't he Auburn?
Yeah, he was in Auburn, but
he was playing where?
Yeah,
was he playing?
I forget where he was playing, but yeah, he booted like a 75-yard field goal. So that's sweet. It sounds like. He might have the hold of that job.
I think it's his to lose, you know.
Yeah, so. I think you draft him in the fifth. I mean, I know it's a late round pick, but it's also you used an asset on the guy.
And he's going to help you with kickoffs, deeper kickoffs and everything like that. Yeah. So.
Before we move on, I do want to get an offensive lineman. We could potentially trade for one though, too. You know,
yeah,
we've got 10 picks.
And is that 10 picks
this
of our comp picks?
I believe
I mean, we're going to get, the max amount. I think it's four you can get.
Three or four, yeah.
Yeah, so plenty of picks. I mean, it was like last year when we traded for Tremaine Brock.
Yep.
No, obviously that didn't work out at all. He was horrible. That dude was completely worthless. Yep. But if you got a team that's kind of stacked with linemen, maybe you toss them a sixth-round pick next year to
kind of solidify.
Just solidify, yeah. Even if it's a backup, a depth piece, just for something to kind of replace Easton.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to giving up late round picks or anything.
Especially because of the amount we're going to have next year.
Yeah.
You're not giving up a first or second or anything like that. Just give up one of your late picks.
Yep.
And just make sure that you've solidified that offensive line. Maybe someone that can play guard and center.
Yeah.
And then you're, because I don't even know if this Edison guy is really.
I just remembered, I know Gossett missed practice the other day, today or yesterday. So, I mean, like, it's getting thin.
Yeah. I mean, his chance of making the team obviously went up a little bit, seeing as Easton went down.
Yep. Because, that opens a roster spot. I saw, was that Williams? I think it was one of our backup. Oh, Wilson. Wilson had a pick six in practice.
Eric Wilson? Yeah. He's sounds like he's kind of grabbing hold of the defense a little more. Last year, he was kind of more just a special teamer. There were a couple guys saying that he's coming around defensively.
Which is huge because, like we said, like we don't have a lot of depth.
We have a bunch of guys that have never played. Yep. So hopefully we can kind of.
So, like, if something were to happen to Gideon or Barr, So, I mean, and if he's grasping it right now, I'm sure the more he plays, the more he practices, the better he's going to get. You can only hope. That's Vikings training camp.
Yeah, I think we'll probably start with just a quick recap of the news each week to kind of go over during training camp, just so we can kind of. This week there was a lot. I mean, we were kind of a week and a half from our last podcast, but.
Yeah, that was it felt like a lot longer. I've been itching to get
the people have been just upset, that we haven't put out a podcast yet. So, we'll get it out tonight.
Tonight.
Well, I have to because I gotta go to Canada internet service. So
that sucks. So sweet. Yeah, tonight, if you're up at 4, if you're up at 4, download it.
Cameras will be ready. He's waiting at his computer.
I
can listen to it on the way to the cabin.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to listen to myself on the way to the cabin, critique my work.
Critique it. All right. Well, let's jump into the NFC over-unders. Last week we did the AFC. This week we'll do the NFC.
Yep. I left my notebook at home. Have my over-unders.
I'll tell you the over-under numbers, and you're just going to have to go with your instincts here.
Right. Well, that's going to be pretty easy. So NFC over-unders, we're going to end up with the NFC North, but we'll probably do that last.
Yeah, I think I'll save them for last because we might go a little deeper on them.
Yeah.
Obviously, our division.
Probably won't talk much about the Vikings, like, over-under.
Oh, yeah, because we'll talk over-under, but we've talked about the Vikings roster plenty. So.
Exactly.
But let's start. We'll go to the West first.
Okay.
Cardinals is 5.5.
5.5.
I wavered on this one.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over. I'm going over on that because I think even if they do, I think the reason why they're always bad is because they don't have a quarterback behind Palmer. Now they have Sam Bradford starting, and if he gets hurt, I know they have Mike Glennon number two on depth chart.
Probably Rosen. Yeah.
And the way Fitz talked about him today on NFL Now sounds like he's.
Doing well.
Having a very good camp. He's smart. He's like cocky but not arrogant or something like that. He likes his attitude. Likes his demeanor.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So I'm gonna go over 5.5 because I don't think they're a very good team, but I don't think they're 5-11 or worse.
Yeah, I put them 6-10. I also went over. Kind of feel like they're gonna be bad, but they have just enough good players to not be. Terrible. Like David Johnson's good, Fitzgerald's good. They have a competent quarterback now. Yep. As Bradford stays healthy, he's a good quarterback. And then they've got a few pieces on defense that'll keep him in the game. So I kind of wanted to go under because I just think they're going to be a bad team. But when I saw it, I just.
But at 5.5, it's.
Kinda, yeah, that's kind of.
They seem like a 6-10, 7-9, maybe even 8-8 team because, like you said, they've got pieces.
Yeah.
Just.
And I think they'll pick up wins in the division. I think the division's gotten worse.
Yeah, Seattle's beatable. I mean, even the Rams, they can upset the Rams. Mm-hmm.
I mean, those division games are always tough. So. Yeah. And the 49ers are kind of an up-and-coming team, but they're not.
You don't know. I mean, they could be good, they could be average, or they could be bad again. You never know.
Right.
So Cardinals, 5.5, both over.
Both went over. Niners is an 8.5.
I gotta go under on that. I think the Niners probably are a good team. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is probably the franchise quarterback that he looks to be. But
it seems too early. Seems like maybe a year early on all this hype. A lot of hype in San Francisco.
I mean, their defense was really bad last year. They didn't do much to it, if anything. Their running game was bad. I think they downgraded at running back from Carlos Hyde to Jet.
Yeah, it's not. It's a lateral move at best. I mean, it's not. That's their big signing. Their receivers are relatively the same.
Yeah, and like besides that, Marquise Goodwin, who's a Olympic sprinter, like they're not. I mean, Pierre Garçon can catch and run routes, but they don't seem like they have enough on offense. I mean, you know, Tom Brady can take an offense like that and make them good because he's Tom Brady, but I don't think Garoppolo. He can elevate the play of his players, but I don't think he can take a 6-10 team and make him 11-5. Yeah,
and
you know?
Maybe at some point, but not yet. I think a lot of the hype is because Garoppolo finished so strongly and they won so many games. But the offense doesn't scare you. The defense doesn't scare you. I think an 8, what is it? 8.5 over under. I mean, that's picking them. If you go over, you're picking them to win nine games. So
and yeah, I
think they'll hover maybe 7-9.
No, I think they'll play teams competitively. It's probably going to be one of those teams that you know are like 2-5 in one possession games.
Right, they lose some close games because they're young and you know. I just don't think that Kyle Shanahan's building his team. I don't think this is the team that he's still building it. You know, he's going to use these these receivers and defenders because he has them, but he wants to get better.
And nobody had tape on Jimmy before.
That's true. Yeah.
Now they have 6 more games that they can like watch. Mm-hmm. So they're probably going to be a fun team.
Better than they were last year, but the hype has maybe gotten a little
nuts.
Yeah.
A little over the top.
That's kind of what we both agree on that. Yeah. So we both agree on the first two teams. Seahawks over under is 8.
That's a tough one.
I'm going way under. I mean 6 wins. I just think that's
I want to say under 2, but I'm.
I thought you just meant under 2 wins.
No. I think I'm going to go over. I think I'm going to go over just based on Russell Wilson.
So then they would win 9 games?
They won 9 games last year, and I thought they were trash. I know they got worse. But, you know, actually, at the same time, I think about who was it was talking about Pete Carroll's message getting stale in that locker room. You know what? I'm going under. I don't like Pete Carroll. I don't like him either. I think he's probably like a really good college coach, but
well, he won a Super Bowl. I think it's sort of a like a Jim Harbaugh situation. Like really good coach, but eventually the message, like you said, grows stale. It gets old. I mean, his rah-rah crap probably. Eventually, it just gets old.
Well, and then you lose that Super Bowl the way you did.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, like...
That turned off a lot of the players.
Oh, it had to. All of a sudden, this dude's asking you to buy in on all this crap, all of these stupid, like, messages that he says. Like, Richard Sherman was like, it's terrible to listen to. But they all buy in, and they're like, all right, you know, this guy's weird, but he makes the right decisions in the end, and we win football games. And then he goes into something like that, and that team hasn't been the same.
No. Just talent-wise, they've lost so much talent on that defense. I mean, like you said, Sherman's gone.
Chancellor's
Michael gone. Bennett. Michael Bennett's gone. Thomas wants a trade.
Cliff Averill's gone.
Yeah, didn't he have like some injury to end his career or something like that? So, I mean, the team is completely different on defense, which was their whole team, and Russell Wilson. Their run game's a rookie. Chris Carson, if he can be anything. And then it's just back to Doug Baldwin. They don't have Jimmy Graham anymore either.
Yeah, they've got Luke Wilson.
Yeah, Luke Wilson.
Owen Wilson's brother.
And their line's been terrible for their whole... Even when they were a good team, their line was terrible. So I think... I just look at the roster, and I think the only reason that over-under is 8 is because the public still thinks, it's the Seahawks.
Yeah.
So I'm going under.
I'm going under.
So I brought you to my side.
Yeah.
Talked you into it. Sucks. Pete Carroll.
I don't like that. I don't like when you're able to make me flip flop.
Rams 10.
I'm going over. I mean, because I can't go at 10. I can't.
Yeah, we're not
push.
Doing pushes. That's weak.
I'm going to go over, but they're more of a 10 win team to me. I think last year they caught a lot of people by surprise. I do I think we differ on this. I actually like Goff. I don't think you're a huge Goff guy.
I think he's a competent quarterback that looked even better because of the system he was in. A lot of bootlegs, a lot of, you know, misdirection stuff that makes it easy on a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, he ran it well, you know, which is fine. But I think he's Jared Goff. I don't know. He doesn't really move the needle for me. Kind of middling quarterback.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about, I mean, yeah, I don't think he's, you know, top 15. I mean, he's probably in that 15 to 20 range for me.
Yeah.
I think he will probably take another step forward.
I think he needs to take another step.
Yes, I think I really do think he does. But, you know, and if he takes another step, he's guaranteed a contract between 25 to 30 million.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he'll
get paid.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, LA has basically, unless he goes ass backwards and goes back to his rookie year, you're looking at the quarterback of the Rams for the next 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
I think it's a good fit regardless. I mean, I think Sean McVay is going to make him look good.
Yep. And they added a bunch of guys on defense. Yep. They added Brandon Cooks.
Swap Watkins for Cooks. He's got weapons. They got a ridiculously good running back.
And exactly. And with Todd Gurley and everything, like, that's public enemy number one. Like, that's what they're trying to stop.
Yeah. So he's going to see some good looks to his receivers. He's got two good ones.
And everything Robert Woods like that.
Good receiver.
Three of them. I mean, Cooper Kupp's not.
Yeah. Good slot good guy.
He led the team in receptions last year. They've got the two. They do that dual tight end with, who's that?
Gerald Everett and Higbee. Yeah. They've got
players.
I think for how much talent's on that roster, and then looking at the other teams in the division, it was hard for me. I kind of think that they're not going to be as good as everyone's acting. You know, because they added Ndamukong Suh and Marcus Peters and Kib Talib, and everyone's thinking they're one of the top teams, which they probably one of the top teams, but I think they're going to underwhelm a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a lot of new people into a team, but I still don't know how you go under 10.
Yeah.
Hard to do with how much talent.
I'm not sure
team.
If they lost Mark Barron, but I know they lost Ogletree.
I think they still have Barron.
And I think Ogletree was wearing the sticker. I think he was their play caller on defense. So, I mean, that, you know, you're going to end up with a new middle linebacker, a new play caller, a lot of these other pieces on defense. And, you know, a lot of the guys they added are, like, Marcus Peters plays reckless. You know, it's turnover or big play with him.
Mm-hmm.
Talib,
he's older,
so he's not very fast. He can get beat if he doesn't, you know, press and have it. If he doesn't get a good jump on you, like, dude can get beat.
Well, and at this stage of his career, he's not the same guy he was when he was prime in Denver.
Yeah.
And the team is, they added a bunch of pieces, but it's not like they didn't lose a bunch of pieces, too. You know, yeah, they added Sue. They lost Robert Quinn. It's probably they added a better player, but they still don't have much for outside pass rush.
Yeah.
They lost Ogletree. They lost Tremaine Johnson.
Yeah.
So it's
a different defense.
Yeah, it's different. New faces. It might take a while to gel. It's just. I think people forget that they lost players as well as gained them. They just look at you added Peters, Talib, Cooks. Well, yeah, it's like you added Cooks, but you lost Watkins. So it's kind of like you just
a lateral move,
you know. But again, I think they're going to win that division. I think they're probably going to at least win 11 games.
Yeah, and I like their D-backs, you know, Talib, Peters, Johnson, and Joyner.
Yeah.
I like those four. But if you don't have a pass rush, which the Rams don't.
They have Donald.
Yeah, they have Donald and maybe Sue, but, like, they don't have edge rushers.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't have anyone who can fly off and get to the quarterback just like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to hurt their defense because without a pass, like, an elite pass rush can make moderate cornerbacks look really good.
That's definitely a weak spot on their team is that edge rush. And, I mean, regardless, talent-wise, they're probably still one of the top teams in the NFC, but it is a whole new group of guys on defense. And even similar to, like you said, with Garoppolo, people having tape on him, I think people might study this Rams offense that was like, I think they were the highest-scoring offense in the league.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And maybe learn some tendencies and learn some of the stuff they were doing, and it won't be, you know, McVay kind of caught the league by surprise, too, with some of the stuff he was doing, so. We both have, I think we were identical across the board for that division. Once you came over with the Seahawks.
Yeah, because you went over for the Cardinals too, right?
Yeah, 6-10. So I had the Rams winning that division and then everyone else sort of a 6-8 win team, you know.
Exactly. But I don't think anyone, I think the West is only one playoff team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't see anyone really. Maybe the 49ers battling for a wild card, but I think we both kind of see them as not. Let's go to the East. We'll go Redskins, a 7-win over under.
Redskins, 7.
They moved from Kirk Cousins to Alex Smith.
Which is weird because a lot of people talk like that's like a better move for them. Like they upgraded at quarterback.
I mean, I think it's sort of like a similar player, but one's way older. Yeah. So it was kind of, to me, it doesn't make much sense. But
7.5, you said?
7.
7? Yeah. That sucks. I'm going to go under. I think they're a 7-win team.
They always are.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of want to go over because they might win 8 games. I don't know, like, you know, they added Darius Geis.
They have receivers. They added.
They get Chris Thompson back.
Mm-hmm. Paul Richardson, and maybe Doxson finally comes around. Yep. Jameson Crowder's always
good. Jordan Reed's healthy right now.
If he ever stays healthy.
Not so sure who's on that defense.
Yeah, though, Kerrigan and.
They got that one safety, that Monte Nicholson or whatever drafted late last year. He seems like he can play. But I don't think there's enough. I mean, they lost Trent Murphy, their other pass rusher. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's enough there to be 500.
Yeah, it's a mediocre team. They seem to kind of always be stuck in this mediocrity.
No.
And I also have them under. You said under, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I have them 6-10. I could see them, like you said, they're probably a 7-ish win team. Yep. I think they have enough on offense to stay in games, enough on defense to stay in games, but just they don't scare you. Yeah. Know? So I think we'll agree on that one too. So we're just agreeing on everything.
Yeah, I don't like that. Doesn't make for good radio.
Cowboys, 8.5.
Under, I don't.
Oh, way under.
God.
8.5? I mean, that might have changed. I think I pulled this a couple weeks ago.
I don't care.
I think they're a 5-win, 6-win team. Yeah. I think they're.
Oh, freaking Dak Prescott hasn't even thrown a touchdown in training camp yet. It's training camp.
And he is never good. Like, he looked good because they had that offensive line and Zeke Elliott is that rookie season. And then a couple injuries and Zeke being out. And the dude got exposed. He's not. He's just a mediocre quarterback. No Dez. Who are they throwing to? Allen Hurns?
Allen Hurns. Tavon Austin.
Yeah. Tavon Austin. Michael Gallup. Rookie?
Who's their tight end?
No idea. Cause
who's that? That Robert Gethers?
Yeah.
From Baylor? He's like 6'8".
Yeah, I don't even think that he's... I think it's Rico Gathers.
Rico Gathers, yeah, that's what it is.
I'm not even sure. I think he's their third stringer, but no one knows the first two. The offense is Zeke, and that's it.
Yep.
And as like a Viking fan, we've dealt with that when it was just Peterson and nobody, so...
Yeah. I mean, Dak's probably better than what we had at quarterback, but, you know, he's not going to make Allen Hurns a 90-catch, 1,500-yard
receiver.
That
offense is going to be bad. And the problem is those good Peterson teams had defenses.
They don't.
They don't have a defense. Oh. What did they got the edge rusher, Lawrence.
Yeah, and he led the league in sacks. Like, I mean, I guess he's still young, so like I don't know much about him.
He looks like a good player, but that's... They don't have much besides that.
I mean, they've got Sean Lee, who's a good linebacker, but he's always hurt.
Always hurt. They drafted the linebacker this year at Boise State.
Oh, not Van Oy.
Was it like
Vander Esch.
Vander Esch. Yep.
Who I wasn't really too big on in the draft.
He looks cool, but I don't know. I don't trust.
I don't trust Boise State players. Ian Johnson, man, old Viking running back.
Who?
You don't remember the Ian Johnson back in camp? Oh, this is probably like 10 years ago.
Was he with that blind guy, Coleman?
I think so.
Might have been around that time.
Yeah.
Well, I think Jason Garrett's a terrible coach. I feel like I weigh coaching more now than I used to. Like, yeah. I just think, like, once you see like a team like the Rams, like, you went from Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay, and it was blatantly obvious that coaching was a huge reason that team got better.
But Vikings. Frazier to Zimmer.
Yeah. Oh, it's a huge change. You know, we're just a different culture, a different team. So I think Jason Garrett's just a bad coach.
Did you watch All or Nothing at all?
Not much of the Cowboys.
Oh, I watched the Cowboys, and I can't stand Jason Garrett. I am so surprised he did not get fired.
Is he a rah-rah guy?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's just...
Is he teaching?
He's like you said, he's more like like Hugh Jackson and where they think like they're a father figure kind of thing. Like they don't do any, like, even your speeches, his motivational speeches are like
cheesy and cringy. That's what I don't get. Like, do you think that's working on these like 22-year-old, you know, athletes? Like, they don't want to hear you get up there.
Jason Garrett played in this league. It's like, you should know what gets to players.
He just seems like a dork. Like, he's just some like geeky like former backup quarterback that, and if they're not out there actually still coaching, it's like, what? Okay, what are you up here to give speeches and to pat us on the back and like? So it just, I don't know. To me, that team's gonna. I think that's a team that could bottom out bad, get a top pick, fire their coach.
They really almost just have to blow it up. I mean, they've got that offensive line built. They've got DeMarcus Lawrence and they got Zeke. Mm-hmm. That's something the new coach can definitely build around.
Yeah, and I think they would stick with Dak. I mean, I think he's their guy. I think they're always in cap hell because of some of the bad contracts they did, you know, leading up to this kind of this era. Yeah. So I think blowing it up makes a lot of sense. But who knows what Jerry Jones will do? Way under, right?
Way under.
All right, Giants. We just caught a little Saquon Barkley, your boy.
Yep, my boy Saquon.
Looking real good on that run.
Yeah, so he looked real good. And then he went 4 for 14, so don't draft him in the first round.
Don't take him. So over under 7?
I'm over.
We're going to agree on everything.
I know, this sucks. I kind of figured we would with over unders.
We always do. We're kind of always on the same page. We need to get someone like Rennie on here. That's just, you know, just always with the hot takes. Exactly. You know?
They're gonna be trash. Oh, Patriots, no, they're trash. Oh, Niners, they're winning the Super Bowl.
He'd be going with the hot take. The Niners, all the way to the bowl. But Giants, I think getting Odell back, Saquon Barkley, Pat Shurmur again.
I think Shurmur is so much better.
Huge upgrade at coach.
Ben McAdoo is just.
Dude, you can't be taken seriously with that slick back hair and those stupid glasses and your...
Don't forget the stash!
Your fucking menu-sized...
Oh, playbook?
Your play sheets.
Play card?
Your play card's the size of a, you know... It's like, you can't even see over it. You
had
like
to fold it.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you're a clown. And again, how do the players... I just think of like a 25-year-old athlete. Like, you're going to look at that guy and be like, oh, that's the guy who's going to lead us to the Super Bowl. Yeah. Ben McAdoo.
Yeah.
Joke. So... And we had Shurmur, you know, I think he was awesome as our quarter. And he's been a head coach before, so
he was in Cleveland the last time they won, like, 6 games. He was the coach of Cleveland the last time they won, like, 6-10 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and, like, you hear 6-10, it's like, oh, that's not good. But remember, it's the fucking Browns.
It's Cleveland.
The Browns. It's Cleveland. 6 games in Cleveland.
And there's talent in New York. There's...
Yep. They improved the offensive. They improved the offensive
line. Will
Hernandez, Nate Solder.
A new running back, Odell's back. That offense should.
Yeah, Sterling Shepard. Don't they have?
I don't know.
No, because they always Brandon Evan Ingram.
Evan Ingram, he's awesome. So, and the defense has enough pieces there too that they're not just some pushover.
Yeah, you know, I think they played well. Their defense played well, and then like some things started happening with like Eli Apple and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and, like, they all just kind of like blew up. Mm-hmm. And
well, they probably hated their coach.
Yeah.
So they probably stopped trying had a little mutiny, but.
But I think they've got some players on D. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge Eli fan. Like, I know he won 2 Super Bowls and whatnot.
I think part of that is because the Vikings, when we ever play Eli, we destroy him.
Yeah.
So we're like, this guy's a joke.
Yeah. You know?
Like, every time it seems like we get like 2 picks for touchdowns against him. But. No.
But that's what he does. But
he's a good quarterback.
Yeah. But like, that's what Eli does. He turns the ball over.
He's kind of like that Brett Favre play and then a really stupid play and
but
you get the Manning face looking at the camera and
and I think, you know, I think the Giants are good enough, like, depending on what happens to the Eagles. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants won that division.
Somehow pulled it out. Well, and the thing is too, with us both saying that the Redskins and the Cowboys are probably more of, you know,
walk-a-walk-a-walkers.
Yeah, they're not really gonna be contending for a playoff spot. Well, that's a way for Giants to pick up some wins if that's what our thinking is. So, both over.
And I think they play the West.
Well, they play the East plays. Well, and the Giants have a 4th place schedule.
Oh yeah.
So they get to play, you know, I don't know,
Chicago. And, no, the Niners would be that.
Oh, were they?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals actually ended up winning like a decent amount of games.
Yep. And
then the Bucs, so I would assume.
Yeah, the Bucs.
So they get the easiest, you know, route to winning. And I think they're better than the Cowboys, so.
Yeah.
Both over, so we are just really right on board here. Eagles, 10.5.
Over.
I wanted so bad to go under, and you can't. They're too good.
I know.
Like, and 10.5 is too low. Like, I feel like 11.5 and maybe, yeah, I mean, I have them going like 13-3. The team is good.
I think they're like 11-5, 12-4. They are good. They are good.
What's kind of funny is I think it's another coaching thing because, yeah, they have Carson Wentz, but their running backs are kind of a mixed bag of guys. Yep. Their receivers are also kind of just a mixed bag of above average players.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Jeffries, but I guess he's not an elite receiver. He's a really good receiver.
Yeah, he's a very good receiver. I mean,
Aguilar, turn it on.
Hey, speaking of Aguilar, quick aside, John DeFilippo was on, I think with PA, and he compared Treadwell to Aguilar, talking about how everyone was kind of getting on Aguilar, you know, first round pick, not picking up the offense enough, not making plays like you expect. Well, that last year, I think it was third year.
Yep. Yeah.
And finally kind of came around. So, and DeFilippo was saying, you know, we're thinking we could see the same thing with Treadwell where picks it up. So just
that'd be sweet because, you know, Aguilar had a good season
for Philly last year. And they had Torrey Smith, I think.
Yep. And they upgrade, I mean, lateral move.
Yeah. But they kind of use different guys with different skill sets. Well, you know, yep, Jeffrey, big bodied guy.
Well, and where they like rotate their D linemen as well, they rotate their receivers too.
Yeah.
Their receivers, tight ends, like Doug Peterson loves to play matchups.
Yeah. And like, he's got different types of players to do that. So he's like, hey, put Torrey Smith or Mike Wallace, whichever one, out there and he'll be your speed guy. You got Aguilar in the slot being your shifty guy, and then Jeffrey, big body guy. You can move things around. Plus the tight ends.
Yeah.
I mean, they had Dallas Goedert. They already had Zach Ertz.
It's Philly Goedert. I mean, obviously, he plays in Philly. Oh, it's Philly Goedert.
That was who announced that pick at the draft?
I forgot.
And he got all up on Dallas and was just...
Who was it? Philly?
It wasn't like Brian Westbrook or some... Brian Dawkins, maybe?
It might have been.
But he was just Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles.
And it was like right ahead of Dallas, too. That was
Witten had just retired.
Yeah, like so literally thought, that day. I bet you
they want. Yeah, it was like right before the draft. Yep. It was like a thing where, yeah, they weren't even sure during the draft at first. They had to like make sure he was actually retired and they weren't going to talk him out of it and stuff. So, and I don't even think the Cowboys really added anyone at tight end that was any good. So
maybe Rico Gathers.
I think he's been around. Rico Gathers. So we're both over on the Eagles. I mean, that D line. They added Michael Bennett. They lost Curry,
Bo Allen. And I feel like there was one more that they lost.
Yeah, I thought there was another one, but
they added some guys.
Michael Bennett. They did lose Michael Kendricks, and they lost. Was it Patrick Robinson in the corner?
Yep.
Yeah. So they did. They did take some hits, but Sidney Jones back from injury last year. I think he was a first round talent.
I think he was top 10 talent, but I think he tore his Achilles or his ACL.
Yeah. Where he was out, basically, it was a redshirt year for him.
Yeah. So. And actually, I think there was something really bad with it because he missed almost all of his last year at Washington.
Oh, yeah, that's right. At least part, like most of it. So,
yep.
So I mean, the good coaching, great quarterback. Well, you're a Wentz guy.
I'm not a Wentz guy.
It's very strange.
I think it's because I hate Philadelphia. I think it had something to do with his rookie year. When the year we went 8-8, we went to Philly. We should have beat Philly that year. That was our first loss
of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, and like he didn't play very well. But both him and Bradford were trash.
Interceptions back-to-back.
But even after the game, everyone's like, dog, Carson Wentz, yo, taking down the undefeated Vikings. Like, dude, he played like shit.
Yeah, their defense took us down and mistakes by us. But, yeah, I mean.
I think when I think Carson Wentz, though, like, I always see him throw a deep ball, you know, big play touchdowns. And I'm like, all he does is throw deep ball touchdowns. But then I said he had, like, 23 of his touchdowns in the red zone.
Oh, really? Last year. What I like about him is he's, one, not afraid to just throw it up, and two, he just makes plays when plays aren't there. You know, broken plays.
There was that one play, I forgot. I don't know who it was against, but it looks like he was going to get sacked, and he squeaked right through. Like, he had three guys on top of him, and he somehow, like, just bolted out of there for 21 yards. So, I mean,
Antonio Callaway.
Wow.
He's making plays left and right. We're watching the Browns Giants, like we said before. Flag on the play. Mayfield looking good too.
Yep.
But
I wonder if Callaway will take out a joint here or not.
It wasn't mine. I bought a card. It was already in it. He's someone that in our rookie fantasy draft could go a little higher now that he's if he doesn't get in trouble for that and keeps making plays like this, because he was knucklehead, and, you know, character problem in college.
Well, yeah, definitely the talent. Credit card fraud. It was bad.
Yeah. About the Browns.
Yeah, exactly. Really, enough Browns about guys. The Browns.
Well, you know, when you're watching them, you know, making plays out there. Like
Packers are down by three. That's fun. Yeah, always love to see the Packers lose, preseason or not.
All right. So we agreed across the board again in the East, right?
Yes, we did.
Let's head to the South. The Buccaneers, 6.5.
Buccaneers at 6.5. Under.
I also went under. We're gonna lock on this. This is gonna be great. I think they're like pretty talented.
Yes.
I don't like Jameis Winston. I think he makes way too many mistakes.
I like Jameis Winston. I do agree that he makes a lot of mistakes, but I think he's got a big time arm.
I think he's got a big time arm, and he's bad at controlling it.
He does make bad decisions like that.
Bad decisions, and I don't think he's accurate. I think he's legit not a good quarterback. So, I mean, well, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he's better than I think.
We would love if Teddy Bridgewater went down to Tampa and got to play with Mike Evans, Deshaun Jackson, Chris Godwin, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard.
Yeah.
Like, imagine Teddy on that off.
If they hit on that running back,
Ronald Jones, yeah.
That offense is... It's got crazy talent. The guy, the guys you just named. I mean, it's got the tight ends, the receivers. Just needs that maybe a playmaking running back. So but they took him in the second round. So I think, like, again, I think the team's pretty talented. They defense. They added Vinny Curry,
Bo Allen.
Did they get Curry and Bo?
I think they got Curry and Bo.
They added a whole bunch to their. Oh, they got one hand there. Firework boy. JPP.
JPP. The DN that they had, that Noah Spence.
Yeah.
So he's a good pass rusher. He was in camp last year. He DN 229.
What?
He played at 229 last year.
Wow. What, did he put on some weight this year?
He is up to, like, what is that, 9,000 calories a day.
Oh, is that
he's
guy?
He's eating, like, nine meals. Okay. He put on 35 pounds or whatnot. And a lot of the offensive linemen he's going against, I forget who it was, but he's like, I thought, you know, 35 pounds, like, he lost
some speed. He lost some explosiveness. Speed. Yeah,
And I guess he has, like, it's because it was all, like, lean protein and everything, so it was just adding bulk.
Yeah. Well, he had to get bigger if he's playing at 229. Yeah. Come on.
So, and it sounds like he's playing the run better, because he would always, like, be able to attack the running back, but he'd always, you know, slip through, because he's not strong enough to... Tackling.
And once a blocker's on him, they're probably on him. He can't get eaten up or he's stuck.
No.
I don't. Their secondary probably pretty weak. I don't know.
I don't think it's the greatest. Who did they draft? Didn't they draft? Oh no, they drafted like Vita V, didn't they? That D tackle, when they should have drafted a corner. They should have taken Derwin James. That was the team that should have taken Derwin James. But
overall, they've got, like, some talent coming along. I just think, and also, is their head coach still Dirk Cutter?
No,
they're bad coach.
He's terrible.
Yeah.
He's awful. Like, nothing about him.
Yeah. Him and Jameis Winston, I just think if you have, in my opinion, a bad quarterback and then a bad coach, you're not good. You're just not going to be good. Even with the 6.5 over-under, I got them pegged as a 6-10 team.
Yeah, 6-10 at best.
Yeah. And someone's got to be bad in that division. That division's tough.
Yeah.
So I think someone's got to be at the bottom of it.
Yeah, because I don't think it's going to be any of the next three teams.
Yeah. Well, let's move to the Falcons, 9.
Just 9.
Just 9.
Over. They kind of have that vibe of only a 9-win team, though, this year, you know?
I also have them over. I think it can kind of go either way with them. Either they kind of stumble again like last year. I mean, they did make the playoffs last year. They won a game.
They started slow last year.
But I also could see that, again, another team that they clearly have some good talent.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's like that offense, Matt Ryan, Devonta Freeman, Tevin Coleman, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley just got drafted.
Yeah. Which I think, I mean, I know they lost Taylor Gabriel, but Calvin Ridley's a good player.
I think getting someone that's good across from Julio that can really not just, who's the guy that Muhammad's new? You know, he's kind of just a solid.
Yeah,
you know,
he's a player. Good number two on.
Yeah, but he's not. It's like we have Thielen and Diggs where you can't double them both. You got to do something. If you double Diggs, Thielen's one on one, he's going to make the play. They need a guy like that. So I think Calvin Ridley was a kind of a. Unexpected, but when they did it, it was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, like he was clear-cut, like, best player available at
Yeah,
that
he
point.
Fell pretty like, far in the draft.
Yeah,
like late 20s,
people
so.
Talk like he was, you know, top 15, potentially top 10, and he fell, and I think I even said when watching the draft, I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta should take Calvin Ridley right here, thinking, you know, they'll probably take someone on defense.
Yeah, like, I kind of expected defense, but... you do look at it, though, it is really just Julio and then a bunch of...
Yeah.
I mean, and their tight end isn't, like, the greatest. You know, a lot of hype every offseason, but never really...
No, yeah, I would not call that a luxury pick, taking a wide receiver in the first
round. Yeah, it was more of a need than I originally thought.
Yep.
Defense, they've got some decent talent on the defense with... who's the linebacker?
Vic
the...
Beasley, Deion Jones.
Deion Jones, I like him, yeah.
Devondre Campbell.
Yep, they got the corners...
Trufant and who's that other guy?
The guy with the pick six.
Robert Alford?
Alford, yeah. He had the pick six in the Super Bowl, I think. Yep. Yeah. So, pretty talented team that I could see it go either way. I could see them struggling, just still hangover
you know,
from the
think,
Super Bowl.
Think about it. You know, if they're a team that could potentially get swept by the Panthers and Saints, that means you can only lose three games.
And then you're at your under.
Yeah.
So, and the one thing too with them is that offensive coordinator seems to have not.
Steve Sarkisian. It started to fire along at the end of the year though. I thought
a little better, and then in the playoffs he couldn't get in from the 10-yard line four straight downs.
Bad.
So just a bad taste in their mouth.
Oh. And that stupid fade to Julio on fourth and goal. It's like that. That is like one of the lowest percentage plays of all time. Why are you doing a fade?
So bad. Well, and God, I wish they would have won because I wanted
Atlanta.
After we had played them, I went to that game in Atlanta.
Yep.
They were just like, they couldn't do anything. It was kind of a boring game, but it was like.
We only won 13-10 or.
Some weird number, like 16-10 or 15-10 or whatever it was. But the whole game, I felt like we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
They can't get the ball down the field. They can't do anything. And we just played real conservative because I think Zimmer thought the same thing. Like, well, we'll just outlast these guys.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
I think at home we would have beat them, although there would have been the 1998, like...
thing holding over your head.
Yeah. Let's go to the Panthers, 9.
That sucks. I was hoping it would be, like, 10.5 so I could go under because, like, I don't like the Panthers.
I went under.
You
Our
went
first
under.
Disagreement?
Thank God, because I think they'll probably win 10 games. They always do. I don't think they're very good, but they somehow are able to squeak out 10 wins and stay competitive.
I think Cam's really erratic, so that scares me always. He's like a rich man's Jameis Winston to me, like way better than Jameis Winston, but also super erratic like Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Their offensive line is kind of in shambles right now.
When Matt Khalil's your left tackle, you have issues.
Yeah, they've got injury problems. They lost Andrew Norwell.
Darrell Williams, their right tackle, just went on IR.
Yeah,
right
so they've got some serious problems there. McCaffrey does sound like he's getting hyped pretty good, that he's looking really good.
C.J. Anderson's a good change of pace for that.
D.J. Moore's finally, maybe they got a decent receiver finally because they've been kind of throwing at nobodies.
Greg Olsen, Curtis Samuel's back there, second-round pick from last year.
I mean, it's not the best guys to throw to, so that also kind of scares me. And then defensively, Kuechly. I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah, but that defense just always... it's one of those... It's a good group. Like, individually, they're not good, but I think they... Carolina did a really good job, like, complimenting each other with that defense. I don't like them. I'm glad I didn't go under because then we would have agreed.
So you're thinking more like a 10-6 or something. Yeah, I put them at 8-8, right underneath the 9.
Yeah.
I just never really...
I didn't even think they were good last year and they made the playoffs.
Well, that was the problem. Yeah, they made it and they lost to the Falcons.
Yeah.
And I also didn't think they were good. They beat us.
Which I didn't think... Well, they beat us on two fluke plays.
Weird. It was such a weird game.
Yeah.
I wanted to play them in the playoffs. I'm not scared of the Panthers. And Norv Turner?
Yeah, now they've got Norv Turner. Like, that's 7-step drops for Cam Newton in a back... He's got the same left tackle, and he's going to do the same things. Seven step drops
with a bad offensive line. That's a great recipe. They should just feed the ball to McCaffrey. Just flats, dump offs, screen plays.
Just anything.
Anything that gets the ball out of Cam's hand and not
run 80 offensive plays, 68 touches for McCaffrey.
Yeah, their coach is like,
the other 12 are carries from Cam Newton.
Yeah. Saints, 9.5.
Over.
I'm over with them. I like their team. That's a good team.
I hate the Saints.
Oh, I don't hate them anymore. Dude. Not after we ruined their lives last year. But
screw you, Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, they would have beat the Eagles. I saw that.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. You should have maybe not ducked your head. Yeah. Marcus Williams.
Maybe you probably shouldn't have lost to Case freaking Keenum.
Yeah. And also, they weren't going
to. But they do have a good team. You know, that offense starts with Breeze.
Breeze and Sean Payton. Sean Payton, who another guy I think is a great coach. Yeah. I hate him. He's so annoying. But great coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't. He's the kind of guy who doesn't seem like one of them cheesy. He seems like he want like, I don't know, like there's like a realness to him.
Yeah.
Like Zimmer has that, like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like these coaches that act like they're, like, again, like a father figure, like a. It's just like, don't try to make some corny speech.
Sean Payton seems like a football guy.
Yeah, you know? Football guy.
He lives, breathes, sleeps.
Yeah, so
football.
He gets respect from his players, you know. When Breeze, Kamara, Ingram, Michael Thomas, like, broke out, like, ridiculous in the playoffs. Like, he looks like legit number one top receiver. They've got, who's the other receiver they have there? Did they sign someone?
Was it Ted?
Tegan left.
Cameron Meredith, they signed.
Oh, they got him from the Bears.
I feel like there's another one we're missing, though.
Yeah. Willie Snead still there?
No, he's in Baltimore.
Well, they got Breeze and Michael Thomas. So
they got Breeze, Michael Thomas, Kamara. I mean, Ingram's suspended for four games, but...
Kamara's more explosive player anyways. And plus, add Ingram back, big fresh legs, he'll probably...
Yeah, he'll probably end up with 1,200 yards still in 12 games.
And that defense, that, I mean, it's young...
It's got good players. I mean, they added they traded up for Davenport.
Yeah, the rusher.
Yep, and if he's a first-round pick, top 15 pick.
He's
like
what they
think,
wanted.
They gave up two first-round picks for him. So
him, Cameron Jordan, Sheldon Rankins, and then Lattimore, Marcus Williams.
Crawley.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
They're a good unit.
They've got a lot of... And they're young players, so...
Yeah, so which sucks, because, I mean, like, they're...
But Breeze isn't the youngest fella, so they could be one of those teams that once Breeze retires, they got to kind of wait for their quarterback to show up. But this year, I got them being one of the top teams. I have them like 12-4.
Yeah, I think it's probably up between us, them, and the Eagles are probably the three best teams in the NFC. Yeah.
That's what I have, too. I mean, the Rams are the best in the West, but I have them kind of a step down from us Eagles and Saints.
Yeah. Is that the NFC South then?
That's all that. So we're on to...
On to
the North.
Why don't we take a quick break before we start that then?
Let's take a quick break and we'll get right back to the North when we return. Right, and we're back.
Right on. We're doing over-unders on the NFC North now.
We'll start with the Bears, 6.5.
6.5. That's an interesting one because of all the hype they're getting right now. I mean, you know, new coach... People are kind of hyping up Trubisky with all the new playmakers.
It's
around.
Another reminds me of the 49ers, like definitely like a just a team that everyone's kind of like, oh, this is the team that's going to jump from terrible to.
Well, and you know they've kind of got more behind it though. I think for the Bears, because they had a really good defense last year.
Yeah, surprisingly, because it's kind of a no name.
Yeah, I mean they've got a good group of guys, but I think it's a year too early. I'm going to go under. The 6.5.
I went over on them.
You went over.
I went 7-9. I think another one of these where I think their last coach was terrible.
Yeah.
And their new coach I like coming from that Chiefs system.
Yep, because they've got Nagy, and it was Fox last year.
Yeah,
right?
Fox. Yeah. I mean, Fox isn't a bad coach, but he's old school. You know, kind of like Jeff Fisher type. Like, I don't know. I think some of their ideas are kind of just not working.
Good luck, Oakland.
Yeah. But they added Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel,
Trey Burton, who we both liked.
We both liked. You know,
Jordan Howard's no joke. Mm-hmm. Tack Cohen, the human joystick. It sounds like he kind of wants to move him around, get him more involved.
I would think he'll know how to use him a lot better than
John Fox. He's like, he reminds me of Tyreek Hill. He can do all the things Tyreek Hill can do.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's like he had a good rookie season. It's just it's hard for like a 5'7" scat back to like
be anything more than
It's just it reminds me of kind of like Tavon Austin.
Yeah,
like where he didn't have a position, where Cohen probably doesn't have a position either.
I think like the highest you could be at that like is Darren Sproles. Like that's what you would hope to become, but usually they end up just being like, oh, they're super shifty and quick in college, but once you get to the pros, it's like you've got really nowhere to go. You have to manufacture touches for them. It's like it doesn't fit the offense, but. Maybe this, this more creative coach can find a way to just get him a few touches, make some plays.
Yep.
I think that the whole Bear team really falls on Trubisky. Is he a good quarterback or is he not a good quarterback?
Yeah, I agree. Because again, he's got some guys around him. Like Jordan Howard's a really good running back. A lot of people don't think that he can play all three downs, but Nagy says otherwise. He thinks he's got good enough hands and good pass protection to play all three downs. They drafted that Anthony Miller in the third round, second or third.
Apparently been tearing up camp.
Yeah, he looks really good on all the stuff that I've seen, like all the Twitter feeds and stuff like that. Dude looks like he can play.
I don't know what's going on with Roquan Smith, though. What is their deal? Get him in camp.
You've heard why they're not...
Something about guaranteed money if he gets suspended or something
And they want to take, like, all of his guaranteed money. Like, they want, like, if he were to get suspended or miss time due to an illegal play, they want him to, like, pay back all of his guaranteed money is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
So, like...
What are they doing? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Get your first round pick in camp. I mean...
It makes a really good defense that much better. I mean, the dude can play. You took him 7th overall.
Yeah, so it just kind of...
Well, I guess it took the Chargers, a couple of weeks to get Bosa into camp?
Yeah,
I think, into the game. I think he missed 2 games his rookie year.
Oh, yeah, that is true. So, and that didn't really slow him down much. So I guess if Smith can play, he can play. But
you know, it's just always nice to have your rookies in camp. So I think... I think that Bears team's going to be good. I just think it's a year early. I think they're probably another one of those teams that are, like I said, 2-5 in one possession games. They
haven't learned how to win yet. I mean, I have them going one game over 7-9. Do you have them under?
I have them under. I think they're 5-11, 6-10. And I mean, but if Trubisky's a good quarterback, that it all changes.
Yeah, if he makes the leap like Jared Goff did, they could be a decent team then. So, they still play in a relatively decent division, so tough to get through those.
Yep.
Lions, 7.5.
Gotta go over.
We went over. I went over 8-8. I think it's right over that.
Yeah, 8-8, 9-7.
They didn't really get much better. I mean, I think their run game should be better. They added Frank Ragnow. They added Kerryon Johnson.
Yep.
But other than those,
Lose an offensive lineman though?
I don't know. They have Ricky Wagner. They've got Decker. Is that left side? And they've got the guy they signed last year, TJ Lang, I think.
No, didn't Lang, wasn't that just... Oh, yeah, that was Sitton that only did 1 year.
So I don't know if
Lang.
Better line than they had last year.
Or was that last year that they lost Warford or something like that?
Well, then they lost Reef.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think they improved their offensive line, their running game, if Kerryon Johnson's good.
And Blunt, I mean, like...
Yeah, Blunt, too. I forgot they got him. So... But they didn't do anything to the defense, and the defense wasn't good.
I know he's not the greatest tight end, but they lost Ebron. I don't know if
they didn't add anyone, really.
Yeah. So there's kind of a hole there.
It just seemed like a 500 team that didn't get much better. Yeah. So I think they're always pretty good at... And didn't they pull out a lot of games, close games, that maybe that
Matt Stafford always does.
Yeah, I guess he does kind of always do that, so maybe...
I mean, they almost came back and beat us on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That was not fun. Well,
they did beat us at home.
Rest in peace, Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, that was a weird game, too. But
no, but yeah, that was another game we should have had. But, I mean, it's always tough playing the division.
Yeah, for some reason Detroit's played us tough recently.
Yeah, I mean Golden Tate and Marvin Jones, like, they're good players, too. Mm-hmm.
Kenny Golladay looks like he's...
He looks really good. I saw one big, like, two-minute clip package of him in camp, and he looks like he can play.
So they might have, you know, three real good receivers, a better run game. But, again, I think their defense is what's going to be the problem.
Yep.
The new coach, what do you think of him?
It's weird. It's weird. Like, a lot of the Belichick coaching tree doesn't lately hasn't produced a lot of good coaches. Yeah.
And
their defense was never really good.
Well, their defense was bad last year. I mean, you saw the Super Bowl. The Patriots they didn't play well at all. It's usually bad when the team that's losing the coach, like their fans, don't care. Like the Patriot fans, like, take him. He's nothing. Like, it's
don't
not,
take McDaniels. Yeah, take Patricia.
Yeah, take Matt Patricia. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Puts a pencil by his ear and he, you know, it just. So, I'm not
sold on him.
And their last coach was all that great. Jim Caldwell wasn't that great.
See,
so.
That's the thing. Like, they're a 500 team, and, you know, like you said, they didn't do much to get better. But, you know, different message might light some fire up under the guys.
Mm-hmm. Just changing it up from the same old Caldwell regime.
Yeah.
Probably got stale. So I got them 8-8. I think they'll be in the playoff hunt like they usually are. Probably on the outside looking in, though, not actually getting to the playoffs. So.
I can see that. Who I was listening to PA today, though, but he seemed to name off a couple good defensive players that they had or who were having a good camp that they just drafted. It's not like they drafted a couple good defensive players. So I don't know much about them or anything like that, but just the way PA was talking, like...
They have the corner...
Darius Slay.
Darius Slay is good. Ziggy Ansah is... I think he's pretty good. I think he's a little overrated. We played him, he never does anything.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who has all the talent, but just I don't think has the motor.
Yeah, it seems like he just... And maybe doesn't have the right moves. Like, he's got the length and the size and the speed and stuff, but... Can't get around blocks as much. I mean, I think they franchise tagged him, so they clearly think highly of him. Yeah. But I'm never like worried about him coming off the edge.
No,
so.
I know they've got is that A'shaun Robinson?
Yeah,
one of the D tackles. They had another. I thought they had two kind of younger D tackles.
And they took the linebacker last year, Gerard Davis.
Yeah,
he'll improve.
Who'd they take in the draft this year? Oh, Ragnow
was right, their first. Yeah, and then Kerryon Johnson was in the second. So, but again. It doesn't seem like they added enough. It's just a few pieces here and there. So I got him 8-8.
Yeah. Do you think Tony's going to listen since we mentioned Frank Ragnow?
Maybe. You know, he'll.
We should tell him to listen.
And then let's head to the. What do we got left? Packers.
What?
10 is 10 over under.
You know, I'm going over on that. I don't think they're a good team.
They're Rodgers.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, Rodgers had that little freak out in practice the other day or, like, at the media. Like, he was talking about, like, the lack of effort from, like, his younger guys. Because he was playing a scout team quarterback because he wasn't playing tonight. So he was playing scout team quarterback, and he was talking about, like, lack of effort and everything from the young guys. And I think they drafted, like, two or three receivers. And they were playing with the offense and whatnot. And, like, Devontae Adams kind of, like, called him out and everything, too. So,
maybe there's something.
Well, yeah. Well, Rodgers was like, these guys aren't practicing like pros. They've got to come to practice and, like, learn how to practice like a pro. And he started naming his guys. He's like 17, 18.
Oh, really?
Yep. 80, Jimmy Graham, Lance Kendricks. And someone else, and he's like, those guys practice like pros. They don't take plays off in practice. When I think a lot of these new guys around here have to realize that they've got to practice every day.
It does seem like something in Green Bay is kind of like bubbling up. Like, they still haven't got Rodgers under contract. It's been the Super Bowl, how many years ago was that? Like
2010,
2011. So McCarthy's been around for a long time, but for having Rodgers hasn't really. Won as much as you would think.
And see, that's the thing. Like, Aaron Rodgers might be the best pure passer in the league and the best pure passer the league has seen since Dan Marino. I think he's a better passer than Peyton Manning.
Well, and he can move around too, like those guys couldn't.
So I mean, yeah, they win 11-13 games all the time, but they don't ever have the right guys around Rodgers to get it done. Their defense is always trash.
They changed coordinators, which finally makes sense. They got Patton, but not a lot of talent back there. And then on offense, kind of a bunch of no names at running back. He's down to just Davante Adams.
Yeah.
I mean, Cobb. I've never cared for that guy.
I mean, Cobb's got sure hands, but like he's an underneath guy.
Yeah.
You know, he can't take you. He can't burn you over.
Does Cobb have sure hands? I thought the dude dropped balls all the time. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not afraid of no Randall Cobb. That dude.
Yeah, no, he's
the best. He's like Kendall Wright. I mean, they act like he's some great player, but he just seems like a slot receiver.
Well, yeah, he had the good Super Bowl run. I think he was on the Super Bowl team. His rookie year, and that just kind of like set everyone off.
Yeah. And they lost Jordy Nelson. I know they added Jimmy Graham, but I think he's a shell of his former self.
I think you go down. I think that's down.
Yeah, because Rodgers and Nelson had such a connection.
Yeah, the back shoulder throw with Rodgers and Nelson, like, that's bar none.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can compete with that. And just the chemistry, I mean, Rodgers is in trouble. Big play. He knew who he wanted to go.
And Nelson always killed us. Like, it was always Nelson killing us. So I'm glad to see him leave. I think that offense it's just Rodgers now. I mean, Adams is good. I don't even think he's as good as Nelson was in his prime. I think he's just a very good receiver, but not. I don't think he's the kind of guy you need to like.
You really know, the thing is like. The thing with Adams is like Packer fans think he's better than Diggs.
Oh, yeah. Well, they just show stats to prove that. Yeah. Like, oh, well, look at his stats. It's like, okay, well, Diggs gets to catch balls from, you know, Rookie Teddy.
Last year, Case Keenum, Sam Case Bradford. Keenum.
I know, I guess, Adams had Hundley last year, but he's also had years with Rodgers, and he's further in his career. I mean, Adams struggled for the first couple years of his career. So
he was kind of just touchdowns.
Yeah. So the offense, to me, it's just Rodgers and pieces around it. Defense is... I know they added Muhammad Wilkerson. They added the two corners in the draft.
Jared Alexander and the other
Jackson.
Jackson from Iowa, I think it was.
If those guys develop, but I don't know how. I mean, rookie corners usually takes a little bit. So.
Yeah, you know, like cornerback is probably second to quarterback. It's probably the hardest position to learn in the NFL, I think. Like,
yeah, it takes time. So I think the Packers are in for probably a rougher year than they think. Actually, I'm under. I think I'm going 9-7.
I can see that.
I think they're kind of more in that Lions area of being a mediocre team. I think Rodgers probably puts them a little over the Lions, but it's just tough to look at that team and think that's a playoff team that's going to make a deep run and it's just Rodgers and a bunch of
I think you know Rodgers coming back if he's fully healthy, which he probably is because it's only a collarbone, and now he seems pissed off. Like, that's the last thing I want is pissed off Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but maybe he's pissed off at, like, management or his receivers, and it starts to implode a little bit, so.
Yeah, it could.
I don't know what their schedule is to start the season. I know they play us week two. I mean, I think if they get off to a slow start, if they somehow stumble, I don't know who their week one is, but if it 0-3 or, like, 1-4 or 1-3, I could see talks of McCarthy getting fired just because they haven't done much recently. Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I know a lot of people put Mike McCarthy in, like, their top, like, five coaches in the NFL, and I think he's a good head, he's probably upper half in the league since, you know, he's been around for so long and it has won a bunch of football games, but he just doesn't seem like one of, like, the guys that you can be like, all right, this guy can coach up anyone. Yeah.
It seems like he's really just relied on Rodgers a lot. Like, their offensive scheme is never that creative. It's never that exciting. It's like
gifted Favre to Rodgers.
Yeah. And then he stuck with Dom Capers for so many years.
Which is weird. It's like, you know, the dude's 85 or however old Dom Capers was. Yeah, and it's like,
I don't think he's got it.
Yeah. And the only reason why he was good that one year that Packers run is... I don't even know. I mean, it just must have been all the talent.
Well, they had some talent with Charles Woodson.
Peppers on them.
Yeah, I think Peppers was on that team.
But yeah, you know, I guess they had Woodson, who was a really good player.
So they had a little more talent.
Sam Shields. I think their corners were actually decent.
Yeah, which now they've fallen way off the map. So they just
Clay Matthews was actually decent. I don't even want to call him good. I don't think he ever was good.
Yeah, I hate that dude.
I hate him too.
All right, let's hit the Vikings. They are 10, just like the Packers, at least on the list I had.
Over.
I think over, too. I think 12-4.
I am honestly surprised that they just had us at 10.
Yeah, I'm kind
of after all the additions and not a lot of subtractions.
Well, the only one higher was the Eagles, and it was 10.5. So and they kept them somewhere.
And the Patriots were the highest out of anyone with 11.5, right?
11 I had, yeah. 11. And that's partially, though, because their division is so weak.
Yeah.
Like, we're playing the Packers and the Lions, and even the up-and-coming Bears. The other three teams in the Patriots division are terrible, so... But, I mean, we've obviously talked about the Vikings plenty, but I think our defense is one of the best in the league. You got the receivers, you got the running back, quarterback's an upgrade. Your offensive line is the question mark, but coaching, I mean, we seem to both really like our coach. I like our new offensive coordinator. I don't see any reason why we can't do similar to last year.
Yeah, I agree. I'm scared that the defense might take a step back. I don't know how it could, but it's just, I mean, we've played so well the last couple of years. It's just, you know, sooner or later, something's going to happen.
I think they need to maybe keep adjusting so people don't catch on to what we do, which it seems like they're doing with some of the bar moves, or he's talked about doing a one safety and, like, you know, four corners and doing some of that, mixing it up. So, and I just think adding Sheldon Richardson, adding depth at that corner spot, I don't know how, like, our defense could fall off. Injuries could happen. Last year we didn't have a lot of injuries on defense.
Yeah, and that's been huge for us lately. I mean, when we do have injuries, like Harrison Smith will miss like 2 games.
Yeah, but like, it hasn't been those devastating long. Like Rhodes is out for the year. You know, that kind of thing where it's like, okay, that changes the whole dynamic of our team.
Exactly.
So, I mean, last year besides Cook and Bradford, really didn't get hit bad by injury bugs until the end when Easton and stuff went down. But other than that, we... Especially on the defense side of the ball, we've avoided injuries.
Yep. And Rhodes always comes out for a couple plays.
We get him a couple scares every game that he's going to be hurt real bad, and then he comes wandering back in. But
I think, though, you know, the most important piece on our defense might be Kendricks, though. I think
if we lost him, that would be bad.
I think it's huge if we were to lose Kendricks. I think that is the one guy that we might not be able to. Besides him and Harrison Smith.
Yeah, Harrison Smith would be a bad one. I mean, it's tough because, like, I even think, like, if Linval Joseph would be so bad to lose, you know, unless Jahlil Johnson can, you know, become that different player. But, like, and look at everywhere. Like, even when Everson Griffin was playing on that plantar fasciitis, like, he was a different guy, and it really hurt our pass rush, so.
True.
And you lose Rhodes, I mean, damn, like, that takes a big piece of what we do, just letting him lock down the number one. Yeah, so.
Exactly.
So, but both over. I think 10 is kind of low.
I do, too. It's...
For a team that went 13-3 and clearly upgraded their roster, you know, 13-3 is a high number, so obviously they're going to kind of bring it down to...
It's still 10, not 10.5.
So both over. Let's... we're at about an hour 40 minutes, so we'll talk a little preseason game one and wrap this up. But anyone you're kind of excited to watch for in the Bronco-Viking game on Saturday?
I kind of want to watch Case Keenum. I'd like to see a little bit of Case Keenum. Kind of see, I'd kind of like to see him as an opponent.
The Broncos also have, you know, Cortland Sutton, rookies. Sounds like he's tearing up camp.
Him and Deshaun Hamilton.
Those are the guys I want to look for in the Broncos.
Even Jake Butt.
Yeah, who lost his season last year. Yep. And they drafted the running back Royce Freeman. So as far as fantasy purposes, you know, we're in that dynasty league, so we're caring about those rookies. And
it sounds like Demaryius Thomas is kind of having a little resurgence this year. Mm. So I would kind of like to take a closer look at him.
What about on the Vikings side of the ball?
On the is Cook playing? I don't know if he's playing.
One that I wrote
today.
Down that I know he didn't play the night practice either. But if he does play, I definitely am interested to see just how he's running, how he looks.
And I guess I want to watch Tom Compton a little closer.
See the offensive line how it's.
Collins.
Yeah, Isadora.
I know. I might not do it a lot in preseason, but I know as the regular season starts, I know I'm going to be watching a lot of Sheldon Richardson.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, you've seen all of our other guys play on defense.
See if what happens with that three tech finally.
Exactly. I want to see how close he gets to the quarterback, the hits. I want to feel that interior pass rush presence.
And the defense is kind of like, besides the new guy, you know, Richardson, it's kind of like, we've already seen these guys, so,
yeah,
you know, it's not that interesting. They're all very good.
No.
But I want to see, you know, Treadwell, Mike Hughes, see if the hype in Hill. Yeah, the hype in the training camp buzz from those guys translates to maybe, I'd like to see Treadwell make some plays on the field, you know.
Defensive-wise, backups, it sounds like Al Harris improved a little bit over the offseason, so maybe it'd be nice to see
Anthony
him.
Harris?
Or, yeah, Anthony Harris. Al Harris.
Yeah, little Packer.
Scorched Al Harris!
Anthony Harris. I want to see Jaleel Johnson. I want to see how he looks, if he looks like he's coming along as a, you know, run stuffer. And
I also want to watch my dude, Brett Taylor.
Yeah, your guy. Maybe he'd probably get a lot of run in that fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be huge for him. I mean, he's fourth on the depth chart right now, so he's kind of got a...
He's got a ways to go, but I'm sure he's about to make some big plays. Yep. The kicker competition, obviously, I'd like to see.
I wonder how they're going to handle that. Is it going to be every other attempt, probably?
But maybe if it's a long one, they'll let the kid try to kick a deep one, you know, since he's got the big leg. But, yeah, I think it'll be – we'll kind of recap that next week. We're thinking a training camp we'll head to.
Yep. Yeah, hopefully Thursday I think we're going to try and shoot for.
Training camp, maybe record from somewhere nearby there.
If not, just right in the parking lot. Wait for some guys to come out and see if they want to, you know, come on the podcast and discuss a little bit.
But, so confirmed, you know, Stefon Diggs will be on the podcast next week.
Yes, exactly. Heard it here first. We might even get Slick Rick to come on.
Oh, yeah, Slick Rick. Well, I think we're going to get Ben Saldon at least on.
I think we get
him to come to training camp and get him on the mic. Maybe he's got some hot takes.
Maybe we got something good. I mean, he always called everyone shit to him.
Yeah, so. Everyone's just garbage to him. So
it'll be nice to see. But
we'll check out the Jaguars, see if anything interesting with them. Two really good defenses. So
yeah, it should be fun. I'm excited to see that. It'll be nice to see us going against another team in a padded practice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, besides that, I think it'll just be a recap of preseason game.
Yeah, like the Saturday game versus the Broncos. Anyone that stood out? Hopefully no bad injuries, anything like that. Any other news that breaks? Maybe we'll get a bar extension. We're kind of known.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, hopefully next week we have some good news. Maybe an Anthony Barr extension.
But, yeah, we'll hit the preseason game, hit the news, and talk a little training camp practice that we're going to go to.
Yep, and whatever else comes up.
All right.
Right on.
We'll see you next week.
Yep. Thanks for listening, guys.